Well, turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and we're going to start with that. There's other scriptures that we'll talk about. In fact, I want you to go to another scripture found in Psalms. Psalms chapter... 34. We'll read a number of those verses of scripture there just to help us out a little bit, get the whole thought in here. Let me just put this in here right now. Psalm 34 and then Matthew, and we'll get started. So let me just find that here, because I got to insert this here, because I didn't get this in here earlier. I was thinking about John. Did you're a songwriter, John?
Oh, yeah.
And you ever write a song and then you revise it and put extra something else? You know, like make it better, sound better, or got to do it all, yeah. So I that's what I do with different ones that I look at. And different scriptures that I use. So, but I'd like to pray before we start. Is that okay? One prayer at least? We have time for one prayer? Okay, we can do that. I want to say I love you. I appreciate every one of you guys. You've been good mates to be with. Praise God. Okay, Psalm 6 and Psalm 34, verse 4. Let's all stand and let's go ahead and pray. Praise God. Father, I want to thank you tonight for your goodness. We lift our hands in anticipation of the precious Spirit of God. We welcome you, wonderful Holy Spirit. You are God present here, ever-present God. We acknowledge Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. Thank you for the way you raise Jesus up on our lips and magnify him. Thank you for all the concerns that we bring before you tonight, that you answer them all even before we ever utter a word. And we thank you. You're a faithful God. And so we stand in your presence, thanking you, Lord God, that you are going to speak to our hearts and begin to confirm and say things in our lives and solidify what you've already told us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen and amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. This is the NLT version. Jesus said, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life." Psalm 34:4 in the Amplified Bible. Psalm 34:4. The psalmist says, "I sought the Lord on the authority of his word." Now, that's a good version, the King James, or the Amplified. That's not the King James version. You know, we have to have the word on something. He said, "I sought the Lord on the authority of his word, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears." So tonight, we're going to talk about living without fear and worry. Living without fear and worry. So the topic, of course, is, you know, living a worry-free life. And we're talking about living without anxieties and concerns. We all have them. But Jesus said, don't worry about everyday concerns, everyday life. We all have concerns here in this place. So, what are we worried about? Psalm 34:5, this guy says, "I sought the Lord on the authority of his word, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears." So, he says, all my fears. So, there's not just one kind of fear, there's all kinds of fears. I imagine if you check this room out, we might have similar or similarities of fears. But there's all kinds of fears. And, you know, I was studying some stuff at the school there, and we were dealing, one of our classes where we're dealing one, you know, about dealing with issues of life and learning to deal with phobias and so on, different statistics. A lot of people suffer from different phobias, different forms of fears of different objects and different things, even people afraid of a little, you know, snake or whatever, and scared of the dark or whatever. And I remember dealing with one person who was very terribly disturbed, and they were afraid of the color dark, black. And it's a real phobia. People have different fears. But notice the psalmist said, if you sought God, he delivered them from all of them. So there's not one kind of fear that God can't answer to solve in your life. So it's an issue. It's a huge issue in life. Fears everywhere, anxieties and so forth. So it seems today that people are living in a highly toxic environment of fear and worry. Everywhere you look, you can see the effects of fear and worry on the faces of humanity. We live in a stress-driven world, a world of uncertainty with little or no freedom from being free from the effects of fear. You know, whether real or imagined, fear will affect you whether or not that fear is actually a real bear or an imaginary bear. Science has proven that in your mind, if you have a fear there, it'll affect you the same way as if it was a real thing. It affects your whole body, and the feelings that people have from these images in their mind begins to take the toll on their system. Can you say system? Okay, just checking. Notice also says the daily news, the news feeds that we look at every day, are filled with bad news. You ever notice that? Filled with bad images, filled with our airways, are filled with constant barrage of negativity. It is said that people are living in a cycle, living the psychological impacts of people's tragedy, other people's tragedy, in their own living rooms. We're watching television, we're watching the other side of the world, they're having war, and we're sitting in our own environment eating ice cream, and we can feel that bombs dropping, babies dying, and lives being torn apart. We see different things of fear of, people being exposed to different things, you know, taking pictures of you, and giving bad news about you, and different things could scare you. You don't know where to turn. Can't trust people, especially with those phones. Information coming through our television sets, personal computers, smartphones. How can we escape the attacks of negativity? This is something we can, is there something we can do to guard our minds, our hearts from being bombarded with this overwhelming of information on fear and worry? We live in a stress world, a world environment of the high impact upon our minds and bodies. What is fear and worry? Well, the simple definition of fear is a sense of impending danger. Something bad's going to happen. Alarm. There's an alarm going on that oh, there's something's going to happen anytime. I'm going to lose my money. I'm going to lose my my health or whatever it is. This is going to be taken away. I'm not going to have that. So there's all these things going on in people's minds. A sense of dread or apprehension. The dictionary states that fear is a painful emotion aroused by a sense of anxiety and anticipation of disaster. It means to be afraid of something or someone. The Greek word for fear is phobos, which means dread or terror. And we have these terrorists running around. Why don't we have people running around with the peaceful guys, giving peace everywhere? Eh? Wouldn't that be something? How come people that have mental illness always have to have fear in their mind? Why don't you have a mental illness that makes everybody laugh all the time and tell jokes all the time? Did you ever notice that people have these different kind of illnesses that have to do with the mind? There's always something about fear. confusion. But why did they have a disease that makes people like happy all the time? Huh? So fear is the effects of the mind, which arise from the conception of approaching danger. Someone said that the acronym for fear is this, false expectation, or you're expecting something, false expectation appearing real. And science tells us that whether real or imagined, the bear that you imagine about still affecting your body, your heart, and your bloodstreams and all these things going on in your brain. So it appears real. So we all want peace from this stuff. Everybody want peace? So here's something what Jeremiah 6:14 says. You know, people in the world offer peace, but there's no real peace without the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. It says, they offer superficial treatments. This is NLT. They offer superficial treatments for my people's mortal wound. They give assurance of peace when there is no peace at all. Like, people are going to offer you peace, but there's actually no real peace without having the real peace and sense from God's word. We need peace. So Jeremiah 6:14 says that, you know, outside of the scriptures, outside of the word of God, there's no real peace. Unless you get into what God says. Everyone wants to experience peace, and it seems that everyone's looking for a pseudo cure. Some self-medicate with different things. The Bible says that peace is a freedom from disturbances. The Bible says that freedom is a freedom from disturbances, wars, hostilities in the mind. We need genuine answers for the real issues of life when it comes to fears. You could be sitting in your living room having all this anxiety and all this conflict in your mind. You know, the Bible says that there is a conflict, or there's a war going on, and it's all in the mind. 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6 says that there's a war going on, a warfare, and you get these thoughts in your mind coming from the enemy, because every thought that you think is not your own thought. Like, everything that comes to your mind, it's not from you. There's an enemy shooting things towards you, telling you stuff, whispering to you that not everything's going to go well. I was thinking about the Shunem woman, the woman from Shunem. Shunem, yeah. In 2 Kings, she saw this prophet and began to minister to the prophet and gave him lodging and fixed up a nice room for him. And every time he came by, he said, hey, there's a holy man of God going by here. We better help him out. Brother Hagin used to say, I've never gone to someone's home without the operation of the gift that the prophetic would operate in my life. If they needed something, you lodge, and man of God, blessing's going to be in your house. He said, every time I went to someone's home, I had a revelation from them from God, or a word of the Lord. So this woman lodged this guy, this prophet, Elisha, and Elisha said, next year by this time, you're going to have a baby. And she said, don't kid me. And next year by that time, she had a baby. And then the baby died. The devil's a stealer and a robber. And the baby died, he wasn't a baby anymore, he was a young man, a young lad, and he died working out in the field. I don't know if he had sunstroke or something happened to him, and he died. But she said, I know what to do. I'm going to go and see the man of God. So he wanted to see the man of God, and as he was coming, the servant of the man of God saw the woman coming, recognized her, that's got to be the Shunem woman. So she came, and she said, how's the boy, and how are you? She said, what is that word they use in the King James? I like the version of it, but he says, all is well. Can you say all is well? I mean, the baby's dead or the young man's dead, but he said all is well. You know, we got to say what we want to happen in our lives even when bad things are going wrong. And the fight of faith is to think right and to talk right when everything else is going negative in your life. That's the fight of faith. The fight of faith is not you and the devil having an argument. That's not the fight. The fight of faith is you learning to fight with your own emotions and own thoughts and taking captive of those things in your mind and putting God's word to work for you. Because Jesus already defeated the enemy. I said, Jesus already defeated. He said, all enemies are put under my feet. He was raised to death. You know, the Ephesian prayer, Paul prayed the prayer for the Ephesians, and it's a spirit-inspired prayer. He said in Ephesians 1 and 16, he says, I bow my knees. I think I said, I pray the spirit of revelation, wisdom and revelation for you, that you would receive the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him, or the knowledge of who you are in him. That the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your spirit may be flooded with light or enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right feet, hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet, that's our feet, we're the body of Christ, and made him to be the head of the church. Amen? So we're in the body of Christ, and the devil is under our feet. He's defeated. Colossians chapter 2, 15 says that he triumphed over all the powers of the enemy, and that he has no authority in our lives. Now, he's going to get access to you, maybe because you put your armor down, you put your, you know, your weapon down. But if he can't, like I said, if he can't get to you, he'll get to you by some other way, because he's a liar. Now, the enemy is defeated. We're fighting from a victory standpoint. I mean, he's here. The enemy's somewhere around here. I don't know if he's not in here tonight, but he's maybe waiting around the corner over there somewhere, waiting for you to get back to your car. Sitting in the back seat eating chips. So, but you know, he could be there saying, hey, eat some more chips. Now, so it's freedom from all these hostilities in our mind. Peace is that. We want all this freedom in our mind. Everybody wants it. What is worry? Worry, what exactly is that? The dictionary, Oxford, says, when worry is when a person allows one's mind to dwell on troubles. Oxford is a pretty smart man. To be worried is to be uneasy, troubled, to be disturbed in a state of mind. In one sense, fear and worry are so interconnected that it has a lot to do with a person's mentality. When a person focuses on thoughts in their thought life, just on the fear and worry, and then it gets just magnifies itself. It gets bigger. You ever think about it? It gets, the actual problem is bigger than you imagine. You know, the devil that you're scared of, he's only just a little guy. Nobody's laughing because they're scared. You're scared of the devil. You can't be scared of the devil. You can't. If you're scared of the devil, you got big time trouble. You cannot be afraid of the devil. He's defeated. Glory to God. I don't know. I almost said over here. I said, you can't be afraid of the devil. One person is not afraid. I like the fact that Moses, Moses, I guess it was, right? He's a deliverer. How many deliverers we got here? I know you deliver mail, but you deliver. Moses, he had to look right in front of Pharaoh's eyes. And Pharaoh didn't want to let anybody leave, all the old people, young adults and children, and all Pharaoh's, at least Moses said, we have to leave with everybody. He said, leave your children here. He said, no, I'm not leaving my children with you. So if you want your children, you got to fight for them. He said, no, devil, look at the devil in the eyes. He said, no, you can't have them. He looked at Pharaoh and said, yeah, I'm not leaving here. So I'm leaving with a bunch of them. And he said, okay, you can go, but leave your animals. He said, no, I ain't leaving not one hoof here. That's what he said. Read it. He said, I'm not leaving one hoof of any animal because we need these animals to sacrifice unto our God. So you cannot be afraid. Now, he tries to tell you that he's bigger than he is, and he'll kill and destroy if you allow him, but you can stop him. Yeah. Glory to God. Okay, I'll go on. Okay, so in one sense, fear and worry are so interconnected that it has a lot to do with a person's mentality, focusing on the wrong thoughts. Conditions of the mind. Your mind feeds on what you dwell on. Ephesians 4:23 in Amplified says, and be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. The books of Romans tells us that having a mind of the spirit is freedom. Having a fresh mind. The scriptures encourage us to be diligent in keeping a healthy mind. The conditions of our mind are a result of what we allow to meditate on. To have a peaceful mind, thoughts to be clearly focused on the promises of God, not on the circumstances of life. We need to learn to think on God's thoughts. What he thinks about our situation when he looks at it. When you look at your problem, don't look at it on how you see it. Or how somebody else saw it. Or how the banker saw it, or how the doctor saw it. You have to see it on how he looks at it. Up there, it looks a whole lot different. Isaiah 26:3-4, it states this. You will keep him, that's to God, you will keep him in perfect peace. All who trust in you, all those whose thoughts are fixed on you, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord our God is the eternal rock. The Apostle Paul, in his letters to the church at Corinth, said that we believers are to capture rebellious thoughts and learn to obey, and make them obey us in Christ. 2 Corinthians. So you can see here from these Bible verses that one must learn to harness his mind and focus on the positive. The Bible is encouraging us to take control of our imaginations and not allow the unworldly and godly thoughts to control and take the agendas of our mind. And that's not always easy, especially if you're experiencing turmoil. You know, it's so easy to say, oh yeah, trust the Lord, and you just need $20. Huh? Or your car, your tire is going, you're going to go to work, oh, trust the Lord. It's a little bit easier, but when someone is dying, your relative is dying, it's a little harder if your husband is in the hospital with a heart attack and you need to stay alive. Or your grandchild is in the hospital with cancer, it's a different story. Right? It's a little different story. So, you know, many of you have been there where someone has died or is dying, it's a little harder. But, and then you have to go to work and live in a world where you have to interact with people and be nice to people while your relative or your husband is dying in the hospital. Most people won't even go to work because something like that. But, you know, I mean, it would seem uncaring. But for some people, because they trust God, they can do almost anything. You know, some people think this, if you worry about me, then you love me. No, if I don't worry about you, then I love you more if I don't worry about you. See, we got a twisted mentality. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we need to feed our minds regularly on a diet of the Word of God. We need to produce in ourselves feelings of goodness, not of despair. Feelings of freedom, not of captivity. That's pretty good. You go home right now and just say, thank God. Huh? What we feed our minds regularly, as we say, we produce feelings of whatever feeling we want to feel. In 1 Peter 1:13, the Apostle Peter said, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Now, this is a picture of in the old days where they had the long flowing robes, and you had to grab the robes, lift them up so that you can run, so you don't trip over. So you have to grab your hold of your own mind, your own thoughts, and take them captive. No one else is going to do it for you. The Holy Spirit is not going to do it for you. He's your helper. What you allow in your mind is going to be allowed in his mind. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. God is waiting for you to do something. The Holy Spirit is waiting for you to do something because he's going to be helping you. He doesn't come and do your praying for you. You do the praying. He comes along to help you pray. You have to resist the enemy, and he'll come along and help you resist the enemy. Huh? We have to. The Bible says, resist the enemy, and he'll flee from you. He didn't say, resist the enemy if you feel like it. No, resist the enemy if it's okay. We need to resist the enemy, and that's resisting those thoughts of fear. You have to tell yourself, you have to make up your mind right now. You have to make up your mind right now. I will not be controlled by fear. Psalm 23 says, I will fear no evil. Let's say it together. I will fear no evil. Say it again. I will fear no evil. Again, real hard. I will fear no evil. Stand up. Stand up, everybody. Stand up and point somewhere like where the devil is right now. Say, I will fear no evil. Say, I will fear no evil. So go ahead and sit down, because that's what we have to do, is begin to fight back. You cannot fight the enemy without opening your mouth. You have to answer him. You have to talk back to him, just like Jesus talked back to Satan. David, when he was facing his giant, he spoke to the giant. He says, my God has helped me against the lion and the bear, and I'm going to cut your head off today. The giant's huge. You come with me with a spear and a shield, I come against you in the name of my God. Who are you, giant, to defy the God, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or our God? And you cannot be afraid. You have to do it, as Joyce Meyer says, do it with fear. Do it scared. Because, you're not going to get rid of it. It's going to always be around. The Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the shadow of death is here right now. This is the shadow of death. This world is the valley of the shadow of death. It's not just having one bad day. The valley of the shadow of death is this life here and now where death is. And there's a lot of things that God's delivered you from. You don't even know about it. He's already delivered you from it. He's got an answer. I had never checked this, but you might go ahead and check it. They said there's 365 or 66 fear nots in the Bible. That's once for every day of the year. There's probably more than that. So we need to feed our minds. So 1 Peter 1:13 says, Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. Loins indicate to us reproduction system. Loins, a man's loins, produce something. Talks about reproductive system. So what you don't take care of is going to reproduce something negative. So you have to gird it up. You're going to have to do something about those thoughts. And the only way you can do it is talk to yourself, meditate, and tell yourself, this is what God says about me. God says I'm more than a conqueror. God says I am healed and I'm not sick. God says I'll live a long life and not die early. God says I have all my needs supplied, praise God. Amen? God says that even makes my enemies be at peace with me, praise God. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, it's good to just give a woo once in a while. Right? And we try to get you to say amen, amen, and nobody says it, just say, we should say something else that's relative to this. I mean, amen is the word, it means the so be it. Not so be it. So be it. So be it. The loins of your mind and be sober. How many of you are drunk? Sober indicates, it's talking about soberness in God. Being drunk, being impaired with the thoughts, And the destructive thinking of the world, people sometimes, you know, Luke says this, I think Luke 8, I can't remember where it was, but it says that people are so drunk with the thoughts of the world, so filled with the thoughts of the world, they're so full with fear. The Bible says be sober. 1 Peter says be sober because the enemy is coming around. You got to have a sober mind. You can't have a mind that's filled with anything else except the Word of God. Are you here now? He's simply stating the fact that we can control over our thoughts and in our life and have a healthy mind. That's what he said. You know, Romans, we read this so many times. Romans 12 and verse 2 says, you know, renew your mind. There's nowhere else you can renew your mind except in the Word. We read you from Ephesians there. I think it's 4:23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the King James says. Psalm 23 says that he restores my soul. That word restore is the same word renew in Ephesians, Romans 12 and 2. Renew, restore. It's the same mind, but it's just restored. You didn't get a new mind when you were born again. You got a new spirit, but you still had the same emotions and same feelings. If you didn't do anything with your feelings, I said didn't. If you don't do anything with it, you know what? If you're born again and you haven't renewed yourself, you're the same way in some areas that you were the first day you got saved. Because you have to control. If you got hurts from the past, you're still there unless you deal with them through the Word. It won't go away unless you deal with them. Fears don't go away unless you face them. We all have to do something with our face your fears. Everybody say face your fears. Look to your neighbor and say face your fears. Amen. Look to another one and say you too face your fears. Lift your head and say I'm facing my fears. Say all of them. Say because God has delivered me from all my fears. Say no fear, here. I like that. That's what you could put in your car. No fear here. I just felt right now that things are gone. Amen. Isn't the Word of God so good? You know, you can read the Word. Oh man! Oh, all of a sudden you relax, eh? You get a buzz from church. Oh wow, that's good, huh? Woo, like you're all smiling. What are you smiling? I don't know. I'm just happy. Anointing. Yeah. In Romans 15:4, it says that such things were written in the Scriptures long ago to teach us. The Scriptures give us a hope and an encouragement that we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. So, in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 1 to 4, the scripture admonishes us that when we're facing enemies, the enemies in life, that appear greater and stronger than us, than our abilities, we are not to be afraid or to worry about them, because that same God who saved you in Christ is the same God who will assist you with all your battles. He says there in that Deuteronomy, when you go out to fight, Deuteronomy 30, what did I say, 20? He says, when you go out to war or to fight your enemies, an army greater than your own, do not be afraid. Do not. How come you don't understand? Do not. Do not. You want to know what the other verses say? It says, don't. Look at Oxford. It says, no. Come on now. So, when you go to fight your enemies and the army is greater than your own, do not be afraid. The Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the type of Satan and his kingdom, is with you. Do not be afraid as you go out to fight your enemies today. Do not lose heart or panic or tremble before them, for the Lord your God is going to be with you. He will fight for you and against your enemies. He will give you victory. Let's go ahead and give him praise right now. Thank him. Father, we praise you. Thank you for the victory. Hallelujah. Thank you for the victory over every enemy. We praise you and thank you. Thank you, sir. So we are not to fear an enemy because God will give you the victory over every enemy that is greater than yourself, greater than your ability. You are not to depend on yourself. Amen. To trust in God is to have faith in God. To have trust in God, it means to have confidence in Him. To have confidence in God means that you're going to rely on Him. And you're going to depend on God, not your own. Is that okay? The priest is waiting. Like some of you look like you're mad at me, and I'm just wondering. No, you're not mad at me. Okay. So we will never we can never face battles on our own. He promises us to be there no matter what we face in this life. You will never go through a battle alone. Hebrews 13:5 says, Jesus said, "I will never leave you." I was talking to one of my students. He says, God says, "I'll never leave you." You know, the footprints in the sand? And that story about the footprints in the sand, he looked back, he saw only one footprint. He said, "God, how come you left me?" He said, "You know what? Those times you saw back there, I was carrying you. You only saw one set of footprints, so I was carrying you during those times." That's a very good story. Amen? Footprints in the sand. He said, "God, I thought you said in your life you're going to be with me all the time. I look back, I only see one set of footprints. And there were dog prints." No. No, I mean, sometimes people have all these excuses, right? See, I make you laugh, see? Divert your attention just a little bit. No, I didn't say God was a dog. Okay? So he said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." So then we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Only dogs. He said, "Oh, I'm not afraid of man, but I'm afraid of dogs." That's what I got to be fixed. So learn to trust God. Have faith in God. As to trust Him, it also means to have confidence in Him, to rely on Him, depend on Him, and to lean on everything that you have, all your fears on Him. Mark 5:36 says, "Fear not, only believe." When we're facing impossible situations, Jesus told us the centurion not to be fearful, but to trust in God. Sometimes we are facing impossible situations or odds in life, but we must learn to believe God and rely on His word. We need to take our minds off what we're looking at and face God. Think about the situation, totally focuses on what He said about your situation, on the authority of His word. Fear is placing your enemy on a negative situation that you face and are looking at it from a circumstances of faith. Faith places emphasis on what God says in His word. So when we're fear is placing enemy, on a higher level than God is. Psalm 23, as I mentioned, said, "I will fear no evil." Psalm 92:5 says, "I will not be afraid of terror of the night, nor the darkest hours in my life." We should give no area for fear in our lives, because God promises to assist us in every area of our life and to give us help from every fear. So what should I do when I face fear and worry? Let's close with this. Number one, know that God will be your strength. James 4:7 and Hebrews 3:5 said, "I'll never leave you." Number two, we need to know the source of our fears are, and that's the enemy. The Bible says that 2 Timothy 1:7, he says that I didn't give you the spirit of fear. We're not born with fear. We've acquired it somewhere along the way. If you're fearful of something, you gained it somewhere. Somebody gave it to you. The devil gave it to you. Or you've gained through your personal life to be afraid of certain things. You can't get an MRI and say, there's some little bit of fear there in your stomach. So we have to give you this medication, penicillin to destroy this section. Okay, sure. No, there's no such thing. The enemy brings that. So 3, face all your fears from the help and comfort of the Scriptures. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, I am with you, I'll be with you all the time. 4, know that God will protect you from every kind of fear. He said, I'm going to protect you from all of them. Psalm 34:4, there's other scriptures I don't have to give you, have time right now. Here's a 4 fear of getting, you know, we can get rid of fears forever, whatever it is. I told my wife this morning, I said, I used to have fears all the time. And one day the Lord spoke to me. I'm driving down the road towards one of their communities over here. And the Holy Spirit came. I was suffering with anxiety issues. I had terrible anxiety in my life. It came when I was a kid. I had a lot of opportunities to have fear come inside of me. And I suffered from terrible anxiety to the point where I was going to faint many, many times. And I would be paralyzed. And 2 times in my life since I've been an adult that I had fear, once in Winnipeg, Manitoba, where I was paralyzed with fear, I could not move. Second one, when I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, right in the Mecca of the Bible Belt. Fear came right there, and I was paralyzed with fear in Tulsa, Oklahoma, during camp meeting. I told my wife, call the hospital right now because I'm dying. And I mean, fear is unreasonable, irrational. Fear is so irrational that it can paralyze your physical body. You don't think that fear can paralyze your body? You got something coming to you. If you allow it, it'll grip you and stop you in your tracks. And that's why some people never live their dreams because they got fear in their life. Some of you never stepped out of something that you've been afraid of all your life and you're still afraid of it. It'll never go away unless you face it. So I got rid of it. The Lord said to me, the chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes you're healed. The Lord said to me, I've taken away every one of your fears, and what you have to do is start doing the work, start walking in your freedom right now. Hallelujah. Was it hard? Yes, sure, it's hard to walk when you have fear, but you gotta step out. So, number one, make a quality decision to face your fear. Psalm 118:6 says, I will not fear. Number 2, know the protection power of God's word. Isaiah 43:1-2 says, I will be with you, and you will not be drawn or you will not burn. 4, develop confidence in God's promises. Read the promises. 1 Peter 1:4 says, the promises are precious. 4, always walk in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. And if we learn to walk in love, fear cannot never dominate your life. Let's all stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's word is true. Thank you, Lord. Let's make a faith confession or 2 or 3. Amen. Say, I am. Spirit-filled. Child of God. Fear does not rule in my life.
Fear does not rule.
The peace of God rules in my life. I will not be afraid of one thing, of anything. Thank God that I'm fear-free. I'm solid. I'm surrounded by God, by His love, His faith. His love is real. Thank you, Lord. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. All my fears is gone. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead and praise Him. Thank you, Lord, that I'm free. Bakoshi. Obraini Masaka. Thank you, Lord. Omanaki. Laka so mananashite. Minina moso. Laka siterebe site. Paralyzing fear binds so many. But know this, that my word endures forever. I've set you free from every fear of the enemy. Nothing shall hurt you. Nothing will stop you. Faith to overcome is well within you. So reach out by faith. Begin to hold the promises of God and set yourself free. And walk free from every one of those fears. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you, Lord. I want to go to bed tonight. I will not fear. I'll go to bed tonight. I will not fear one thing. Oh, I'm not afraid of bad news. Your word says, I will not be afraid of bad news. I will not be afraid of the enemy. I have no fear of the enemy because I am protected in your realm. Under your wings will I find shelter. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, people, sing a song unto the good Lord, wherever you are. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Sing a song. Sing psalms of praise and adoration and thanksgiving. Give them thanks. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, you are so good. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if you don't sing songs, you can quote scriptures. I was walking on the street the other day, and I kept quoting scripture after scripture, just scripture after scripture. Just come out of me. Whatever scripture came out of me, just quoted, and the Lord began to minister to me. That's the washing my mind with the Word of God, strengthening my heart with the Word of God, encouraging myself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your hand one more time and thank God. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We are so grateful for the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Well, give yourself a handshake or something. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.